Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, we kind of predicted this last week here and in After the Paracast that a lot of you listeners would have comments with regard to David Stinnett and his revelation, so to speak, that he has fundamentalist religious views that relate to UFOs. That UFOs are the spawn of the devil. And he reported that somebody claimed that if you recite, biblical texts to the UFO,
I'd banish you in the name of Jesus.
Something like that, yes. You know, it doesn't hurt me at all. You know, people have been banishing me for years, and I just don't listen.
You're like a bad penny.
That's right. I never listen. But it predictively brought lots and lots of discussions over to our forums. So you go to forum.theparacast.com. Some people have gotten a little less than kind. We had a woman who came on the forums and called me a dick for my attitude towards Stinnett. She's no longer active in the forums, by the way.
You know, I think the definition of that particular new poster was, I think you called him a troll. Is that correct?
That's the reason for banning. Do you want to define troll in terms of message boards? It's somebody looking for a fight, basically. It's something that goes back, 20, 30 years to the original Usenet message forums online, where people would join forums just to start an argument. That's it. They're looking for trouble. They're trolling for trouble, and therefore they are trolls. And the way we handle them over at the Paracast forums is we're, shall we say, benevolent dictators. It's our forum. But we give people freedom to express themselves. If they get a little excessive, we warn them. If they get too excessive and just won't give it up, we tell them to leave. We show them the door. We ban them.
Ouch.
I remember a former co-host of the show would call me every few months and say, would you please ban me from the forums? I'm afraid I'm going to say too much.
Yeah. Personally, I've never had to go there, so.
We all get angry, but sometimes a lot of these wacky messages come really late at night. So I get up in bed, and I have nothing to do. I can't go back to sleep, so I pick up my iPhone, and I start checking the messages. And that's where you get the really wacky ones, the ones that can be very abusive, argumentative. And at that point, I either want to go back to sleep, or I get up, go to my main computer, and start posting a response, which, of course, is a bad idea because I never get back to sleep.
Yeah, I guess note to self, don't engage in internet discourse late at night.
I think that's where things happen. That's where it goes. So I guess we can hope that if we ever want to explore the subject of UFOs and demons again, we'll bring on a guest who can give us some give and take.
Yes, we've had several suggestions in our thread, guest suggestions for the Paracast. I've been in touch with Michael Heiser, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He's been suggested by a number of our forum posters, and he sent us copies of part one and part two of his. Did you get copies, Gene?
Probably, but don't ask me for the name of the book offhand.
The Prodigy series, I think. I have not cracked it. It's like high up on my stack of to read books, and we will get a better, I think, more informed opinion about this particular, I don't know, point of view, if you will, on the phenomena or phenomenon. We'll go ahead and book him. He's really tough to get a hold of, though. He has these automated answering programs that say, I'm a really busy guy and so many people contact me. Pardon me if I don't get back to you right away. But much to his credit, he has answered my emails, even though it took him several weeks to do so. And we got copies of his book or his the first two of the series. So we're going to go ahead and do that and then get back to Michael. And in a few weeks or months, we'll have him on.
I just hope he doesn't take that much time between responses to questions. You know, you ask him a question, he sits there for 3 days.
No, I have a feeling he is quite Johnny on the spot with his opinions.
That's good. We need that. We need the kind of people who, if you ask them a hard question, they'll respond. It may not be the response you want, but it'll be a response. Speaking of not getting the response you want, as you know, there have been ongoing attempts to force so-called disclosure in the UFO field. And the latest effort from Stephen Bassett is to get 100,000 signatures on a petition demanding UFO disclosure. And he wants to get this done by, what, mid-February? So it means he's going to have to rush pretty much to get it.
Let's get real. I mean, this is just grandstanding. It's not the executive branch or the judicial branch that really would, you know, be the place to go. You need to go to the Congress of the United States to get any sort of action, any hearings, any sort of movement on this particular issue. Petitioning the White House is like trying to petition the Supreme Court. It's just grandstanding.
Well, we understand that. And then if it got to Congress, do you think Mitch McConnell and John Boehner are going to be at all interested in pursuing that? Right now, they're doing everything they can to, as they say, reverse the agenda of the Democratic President Obama. So they're so busy doing that. How are they going to have time to have hearings on UFOs? You know, they got to have hearings again, I guess, on repealing Obamacare or the immigration policies and all this other stuff. Consider that. Consider how serious this is and the chances that they would hold hearings. And if they did, what chance is there that it would be any better than the hearings back in the 60s that gave us the Condon Commission?
Right. Oh, boy. I don't think there's a proverbial snowball's chance in hell, I think would be the term. But I want to know, who is Stephen Bassett? Where did this guy come from? Prior to 1996, we know nothing about this guy. I mean, I've known Stephen for a number of years, and he's very slippery, very Teflon. Nothing really sticks to him, and I'd like to dive into his past and really find out who this guy is, because we really don't have any sort of background information on him prior to about 15, 20 years ago. I mean, who is this guy?
Now, supposedly he had some kind of management consulting experience.
And supposedly,
but we don't have any records. We don't know what schools he went to. We don't even know, frankly, if the name he was known by then was Stephen Bassett. It's possible he changed the name. I'm not accusing him of anything. I understand. He's a nice guy. I've been in touch with him on and off over the years.
I like Stephen. He's fun to hang out with. He's intellectually challenging. He's very glib. He's got an answer pretty much for any question that you throw at him. But, you know, his manner is very circuitous. He kind of goes around in circles a lot, but does it with a lot of savoir-faire and je ne sais quoi, I think would be the term. He's a mover and a shaker, but who is this guy?
Now, there's one other thing to consider here. There have been published reports that he may have encountered some financial difficulties in continuing his work as a lobbyist. And I think there's some reporting and financial requirements he has to meet. I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to accuse him of anything. It's just a point. Speaking of points, we have back this week our friend Greg Bishop, and we're going to do kind of a 2014 roundup or just revisit a lot of the key issues in the UFO field.
This should be interesting.
It would, because we always know that Greg is going to offer an entertaining presentation. He's going not going to hold back anything. You know,
he's rather circumspect about what he says and how he says it. But, you know, Stephen did spend, I think, a year or two out there in Greg's neck of the woods, actually within a mile or two of him. So it should be interesting.
Maybe they had, you know, weekly lunches over at a delicatessen or something. Nate and Al's in Beverly Hills. Who knows? But by the way, Nate and Al's is not paying for that segment and that advertising. In any case, we've got And delivering a corned beef sandwich to us in Arizona wouldn't be a terribly convenient thing to do. Greg Bishop coming along with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're joined now by the one and only Greg Bishop. And the reason he's the only Greg Bishop is because once they built him, they threw away the mold. Is that right, Greg?
I think so. There's since I've been online, there's like three or four other Greg Bishops. One's like a dad advocate. One's a former football player for the New York Jets, and they're like, there's another guy that's a magician or something. So there's plenty of them, but only one me.
Actually, there are other people named Gene Steinberg, believe it or not.
What do they do?
Well, I don't know. But, you know, I just am afraid every day that I'll be caught and they'll find out they think I'm doing what those people are doing.
Yeah, just like one of my favorite movies, Brazil, the Terry Gilliam film.
Right?
Yeah, you'll get a 27B stroke 6 and they'll come and take you away with a bag over your head.
Well, that's okay because I don't want to show my face anyway.
Yeah, he's got a great face for radio.
Speak for yourself, Chris. But you have, you know, your entire demeanor, you know, is kind of a public persona, Chris. I prefer to be anonymous. It's more fun. This way, nobody knows what I look like. Yeah, well, they kind of know. You know, they have that picture of me.
Yeah, the shadow knows.
You know, I tried for the longest time just not to have my picture or anything about me online, and that it just becomes impossible after a while.
Well, they've got a picture of me wearing a suit. And I have to tell you, folks, I don't wear suits. They kind of rounded my face, made me look about 5 years older, and they put a suit jacket on me. And it's all a Photoshop composite. It's a fake.
In furtherance of what?
I have no idea.
Really?
You know, there's no sense to it.
Somebody trying to blackmail you, or what happened?
Well, that's kind of wacky, because what are they going to blackmail? I have no money to give.
Yeah, but you got that little Bichon.
Well, that right Teddy now, bear. That's not what you're hearing now. What you're hearing now is the one of the dogs in the neighborhood. You see that? If you hear it, it's more of a guttural sound. Teddy bear's bark is more like a tenor bark, you see. Do you have a dog, Greg?
Do not have a dog. Most dogs I do not like. There's a few I like. I had to dog sit for my paragliding instructor's whippets. I got along with them great because they were basically silent. they didn't really have too much smell about them because they hardly have any hair. And if I actually took them out and let them run for like 5 minutes, rest of the day just laid on the couch. They're kind of like cats and dogs outfits, at least the personality. So I got along with them great.
I kind of worried that my son wouldn't like what we call his adopted brother. But he came over here and they just hit it off. Beautifully. They really dug each other.
Well, that's good. You never know. It's like that, well, this is not even a fair representation. Do you guys know that comic John Mulaney? No. Okay. He has a joke where he says, I had a girlfriend, and I thought maybe my girlfriend would like to meet other women that I knew. It just didn't work out. He goes, you can't force certain people together. It doesn't work. What was his joke? Oh, he said he said you couldn't have like an Ocean's 11 with all women because about every 10 minutes, two of them would run off to talk crap about the other nine.
Ain't that the truth?
People are wondering, this is supposed to be a paranormal radio show, and what are we talking about?
Talking about dogs and stuff. That's fine with me. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Dogs can be paranormal, too, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, we have ask Rupert Sheldrake.
Yes, exactly. Is he still having problems with his morphogenetic resonance skeptic people? Because of the way he presented it, I'm just an idiot. So I just thought, that looks pretty interesting. And, it jibes with a lot of anecdotal evidence. For instance, our cat, way before my wife comes home, she'll go to the door and just sit there and wait. And it's before she's even driven anywhere near the neighborhood. And she doesn't come home at the same time every night. So it's not
a time thing. Oh, I was going to say it's probably a timing thing.
No, it's not.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, his experiment, you know about his experiment, right? The gist of it was they wanted to see if there was any anecdotal evidence that matched the anecdotal evidence that dogs knew when their owners were coming home. So they put a camera on the dogs and a timer. And they also had the people, the owners, out doing whatever they're doing with a timer on. I guess they started it when they left. And what they found was when the dogs did go sit down and wait for the owners to come back, they didn't do it right before they got home or when they heard the car or anything like that. They did it when the owner made the decision to come home. the owner said, oh, I think I'm going to go home now, and gets in the car and comes back. And when they made that decision, the dogs that were doing that would get up from whatever they were doing, walk to the door and sit down and wait.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's been replicated or not. It's probably pretty easy to look up.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, that's what Sheldrake got into some hot water with some of his colleagues. Yeah, Sheldrake got into some hot water with his colleagues for his work on trying to test that very thing, whether pets were psychic or not. And, you know, I guess there was no support, let's put it that way, for that kind of work within his particular corner of the scientific community. And he got into some hot water. And then I think recently, wasn't it last year that he was I think him and Gran Hancock, if I remember correctly, were censored from TED, from the TED Talks.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And that raised quite an uproar. Of course, as you mentioned before, Rupert Sheldrake is fairly well known for his idea of morphogenic fields.
Yeah, morphogenic or morphogenetic resonance, yeah.
Right, and which is, you know, like the monkeys on the North Island of Japan, all discovering simultaneously that if you have a sand-covered potato, if you dipped it in the ocean, you can then wash the sand off. And of course, if it's just a family of monkeys, you could understand them being able to just learn by observing. But all the monkeys, all of a sudden, were able to do this even miles away. So he came up with this idea that there is, you know, this kind of morphic field that animals and people even can tap into, and possibly even plants.
Yeah, well, it would explain a lot of things and a lot of inventions happening at the same time, and a lot of so-called, what's the word, evolutionary or intellectual jumps in our development, all kinds of things. And, I don't know for sure if these are true or anything, but I believe, like you just said, with the monkeys, it's sort of testable by looking at the right kind of data, I would suppose.
Right, and being able to have somebody else do something similar and replicate the result.
Yeah, either that or, like, you know, teach a bunch of crows to do a certain thing and then go on the other side of the world with other crows and see if they did the same thing.
Yeah.
Some kind of racial consciousness, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, racial or whatever, a species consciousness.
I think would be a better term.
We're talking to Greg Bishop, and therefore we're trying to catch up on 2014 and just talking, just having fun. You know, we're having kind of this, I don't know what it is, except to say with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure ancient defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Greg Bishop joins us, and we're having a whale of a time here, but there are no whales here. But, you know, the way this show is going, you never know what's going to show up next. Greg, let's talk about a few other things in this wacky field in which we're involved.
Okay, what's on your list?
That's on my list. Okay, I don't know if you listened to, by the way, last week's show with David Stinnett.
No.
Okay, now he's associated with this New Jersey UFO conference in southern Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought he was a pretty straight-ahead guy.
Yeah.
And then we start talking to him, and about two-thirds through the show, we suddenly find out that he has, shall we say, all right, no problem with it, a fundamentalist religious approach to UFOs. That UFOs are demonic, and he was starting to recite a case where somebody recited some kind of prayer, or in the name of the Lord, told the UFOs to go away during one particular instance, and they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that too. There's some people down in Florida that, well, they're all over the country, but some people I met down in Florida were the same way, which is fine. Like I said, I don't have anything against it. It's just that I don't really care to talk to those people because their minds are locked into one way of looking at things. And the most interesting people to me are the people that either challenge me, themselves, or everybody else with new ideas. Whether they're good or not, at least it's variety and things are allowed to evolve. As soon as you make up your mind about something, it turns to stone, you stop growing, and you have to sit there and defend yourself against all these people who don't agree with you to the point after a while where you start to look silly. Or you don't learn anything, which is even worse.
What happened here is we tried to ask him some meaningful questions, and he just wouldn't answer them. He was so wedded to this belief. And I felt it kind of familiar because my late uncle, Louis Kaplan, who was a Jew for Jesus, kind of had this similar opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Fundamentalist thinking. See, when people say fundamentalist, they think religious. It's like, no, fundamentalist thinking is anybody that's locked into a certain way of thinking and it affects every avenue of their experience and they never change it. and it's usually based on a book or their interpretation of a book. And I do my best to stay away from that as much as possible.
Speaking of which, what about the disclosure movement that's being wedded to a particular belief? And now we have, as a matter of fact, there's a thread in the forum where they mention again how Stephen Bassett's trying to get this petition going with 100,000 names demanding disclosure. Send it to the president.
Uh-huh.
And where is that going to take? Even if he gets the 100,000 names.
It will be ignored. I can guarantee it'll be ignored, meaning ignored publicly. I don't know if it'll be ignored privately, but I don't think anything will happen. I don't think anything will happen behind the scenes because it's just not important to a lot of people. It's not important to people getting reelected. It's not important to the power structure. It's not important on a lot of levels. So it's just important to a few people who think it's really important.
It's and the other thing, politically.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I've said this many times on my show and other places, is if the disclosure people don't hear, I'm talking about them as a group, I guess, but if they don't hear the disclosure they want in the way they want to hear it, they're going to say it's a cover-up. So they've already made up their mind what's going to be disclosed, and that may not be what the information is or what the secret is or whatever you want to call it, the truth, quote-unquote, about UFOs or some kind of non-human presence. I think there is a non-human presence. I think there are unidentified flying objects that might be associated with them. But I don't think the government knows much more than that. There may have been crashed saucers or crashed air craft or something. I have no idea. But I also think they have no control over the subject. They have no control over where it goes. They have no control over how people experience it. It's very individualistic, which is very scary for somebody who wants to run things. Therefore, for all these reasons, and like I said, I could be wrong, I think what would be disclosed would not be what people would expect. Does that make sense?
I can think so, yeah. The other thing is here, as long as the government feels they don't represent a threat,
right. That yeah. Very.
That's the key right there. They don't represent a threat. Inasmuch as they don't represent a threat, why are we worrying about it?
Yeah.
Forget about it. We got other problems. We've got the Keystone Pipeline. We've got the immigration law.
Yeah. We got Russia getting nasty. We got fundamentalist thinking causing people to die. We've got all kinds of things. We've got very vague threats to the power structure, although not nearly as much as there used to be. Yeah. But yeah. Worldwide threats like
the country being in debt, $18 trillion, could put a damper on a lot of things and render a lot of things kind of not important.
Yeah. So for all those reasons, they can get as many signatures as they want. And unless it's going to change society in some way to either not say anything, so they have to do it, or to say something, then it's just not going to happen. I think it's a bunch of wasted effort that could be better served trying to look at the mystery and maybe different, you know, looking at it in different ways and trying to solve it that way. I've gotten to the point where I think it's that groups and big organizations are really bad for the UFO subject and figuring out what it is, because any large group, they, like George Carlin says, they start talking all the same and they all start to wear the same hat and all that. They get a dogma, and that dogma just it solidifies, and they don't see anything else. And if we know anything about the UFO subject, we know that it conforms to almost anybody's idea of what it is. You know,
it mirrors your expectations of what it's supposed to be.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and the expectation is aliens coming from other planets. And while that's a viable option, I and a lot of people are tired of it, and it'd be nice to hear other points of view and other ways of looking at it and other ways of affecting it, or at least affecting how we think of it.
Well, this is an interesting thing to talk about here, whether the phenomenon reflects what we expect it to do and sends it back to us, or is leading us somewhere.
I don't know if it's leading us anywhere. It may be. It also, to me, it's more like, I wrote something about this once, UFO Mystic. It's like, it might be that the phenomenon is conscious. It is composed of some sort of intelligence, but it's just there, like wind and waves and trees are. And in our interaction with it, many things arise. And probably way up, like 95% of it has to do with what we're thinking, what's going through our minds. And very little of it may have to do with what the phenomenon is trying to make us do. Like I said, there's a few and probably many examples where I might be wrong, but it seems like it's, like you said, Gene, it's kind of like a mirror of what our expectations are with a lot of individual variants here and there. If you go to, and you know about this guy, and you might have had him on, Albert Rosales' Humanoids site.
Yeah, we've had Albert on.
Yeah, I mean, just look at that. I mean, if you want any evidence that there's, you know, that whatever you want to think extraterrestrials or aliens are just big-headed gray entities that are about 3 to 5 feet tall, you will be disabused of that idea very quickly by going through his
bewildering.
And it's fascinating and wonderful, and it makes me feel like I did when I first started reading UFO books when I was a kid.
Well, then I guess I did expect E.T. to show up, because that's what happened. I was reading these books from Major Donald Kehoe, and he adopted the position very early on, like probably 3 seconds after he started studying the phenomenon and realized something real was going on. He said, okay, it's got to be spaceships. 3 seconds. I think that was a pretty quick belief system right there. That's the impression I got almost from the very beginning, from the very first book I read of his, which was called, by the way, Flying Saucers from Outer Space. But, you know, when you look at scientific developments now, Greg Bishop, and you see indications that we're accepting life in outer space anyway, and that's why it just furthers the expectation that UFOs are ET. We'll get into that in a moment here. Of course, we're having a great time with Greg Bishop and Gene and Chris just sitting around chatting, and we'll be answering your questions in a few bits. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Hear him here. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610. To put a wall between you and the IRS, 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Let me remind you, we've got our new premium service called Paracast Plus. You go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And what does that mean? It means you get the ad-free version of the PowerCast. The ads are taken out, better quality audio. You get to hear all that great expensive equipment that Chris and I and Greg Bishop are using. I don't know what Greg Bishop's using, but he sounds pretty good. Anyway, seriously, you get that. You also get the new After the PowerCast podcast, which is exclusive to PowerCast Plus members. So check it out, plus.thepowercast.com. Modest subscription fee, $5 a month, $50 a year. It's worth it. So we're kind of doing a UFO paranormal wrap-up or whatever it is, or just talking with Greg Bishop, and we're covering all sorts of subjects. So as I mentioned before, we're learning that more and more potential Earth-type planets are being discovered in the universe. I think the Kepler telescope revealed 8 more guys, right?
The Hubble telescope?
We're up to 1,000 now, I think.
Yeah, right. The total is about 1,000, but they just added 8 more to the list, saying these 8 were closer to Earth-like than most of the others.
Uh-huh.
Then again, maybe that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, too. We expect to see life in the universe, and it will come.
I guess so.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think that maybe occasionally there might be some other life that has achieved some sort of interstellar travel, and not in the way we think of it, where you go from one thing to the other with, you know, taking many years or whatever, but in the kind of the wormhole instant travel thing, they may be able to do that. If they're able to do that, then the, you know, the ETH makes a lot more sense. But what doesn't make sense is the number of, like, why would they need so many? You know, why would all these ships and beings and everything be coming here? It's like, why are we so interesting? Are we that special? Or maybe we are. And if there's so many of these planets that are in the Goldilocks, whatever, maybe, or maybe it doesn't matter, you know? Maybe it's not a time thing. Maybe it just looks like a lot of them because they, this point in history, in our time flow, whatever it is coming here and checking us out. And they don't have to be in a time flow. They're just... They're coming from whenever, and they just all happen to be showing up now because this is right before something amazing happens or something horrible happens or who knows. But, you know, I also tend to think that there's a lot of things going on with the UFO and the extraterrestrial, whatever, the alien thing, they're a lot closer to home. And that, of course, that doesn't make me special. Many, many, many people think that.
Yeah.
And that maybe whatever it is that's not us, that it contacts us or we see or have interaction with from time to time, is from near here or from here. Or, like I said before, maybe unstuck in time and they can come by whenever the hell they want. Right. It's just us. It looks like they're coming by now. Who knows? Or maybe they're able to manifest in some way, or maybe use bilocation in the quantum physics sense, where you know there are resonant particles are resonant with each other throughout the universe, no matter where they are. Things like that. I mean, this sounds vague, but there's so many other exciting ideas.
Well, Greg, that's a perfect lead-in for a question from one of our listeners at forum.theparacast.com. You can go ahead and ask questions of our guests. And it comes from Bob in D.C., and he goes, what do you think of the theory that Earthlings may be one of the most advanced species in the universe? Harvard University astronomy professor and director of the Harvard Origins of Life Initiative, Dimitar Sasilov, says intelligent life may be in its very young stage in the observable universe. Its 200 billion galaxies show a clear potential to continue on as we see them today for hundreds of billions of years, if not much longer. Because planets and life are so young in our universe, says Sasilov, perhaps the human species are not latecomers to the party. We may be among the early ones. Might this explain why we have not yet had any overt contact from out beyond this planet? That's a good question.
Yeah, I guess it might. I mean, how old is the universe supposed to be? I can't remember. Because Earth is what, 4 billion years old? Or?
It's about 15 billion.
Oh, 15 billion. Okay. And the universe is supposedly what, 30 or...
No, the universe is about 15 billion.
Oh, really?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Gene.
I think the estimates keep changing, so let's just leave it at that.
It's somewhere around 15. Sure. We're a little less than a third. We developed about two-thirds of the way into the life of the since the Big Bang.
Right.
I could be way off base here, but I don't think I am.
We're strictly average, folks. Just sit down here. Don't get the egos afraid here. We are just an average planet, an average solar system with an average sun.
Well, we could be. I do not know if we are. As a species, I do not know if we're average. I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist. My gut feeling is that, like I said before, perhaps time does not matter, and somebody somewhere has figured out how to unhook from it, and it just time doesn't matter to them. They maybe they're not even physical anymore. Or if they aren't, maybe they can manifest physically somewhere. But I think it's more like something that's intelligent senses or knows there's another intelligence somewhere and it wants to come have a look at it. Or maybe it doesn't even have to go anywhere. It can just do it by sitting on its own planet and projecting itself over here. I have no idea, but I'm really intrigued by the unstuck from time idea.
I think that would make a great science fiction story, Unstuck from Time.
It probably has.
Oh, I'm sure it has. I haven't read all the science fiction novels there, despite my great age, and having written a few myself. Unstuck from Time. I kind of like that concept.
Yeah. Maybe whoever it is, that just doesn't make any difference to them anymore. It's like if I want to go over there and sit in the other chair, that's the same regard they have for what we think as linear time, and it doesn't look linear to them. It's just everything is there all the time. I keep saying time, but that time doesn't exist. It's just our linear flow of it is to them is just like us looking at something that lives in a two-dimensional universe or something.
Well, there's quite a number of indigenous cultures on the planet, including the Pueblo Indians here in North America, that don't really consider the past and the future. Everything is in the now. In fact, I think the Hopi don't even have words for the future or past. Everything is always in a present tense.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that would make sense. It might also explain the huge gulf in understanding between the cultures still, actually, but especially when they first encountered each other.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I speak with Martin Gashwiasomo, who's a Hopi, traditional Hopi elder, and when he talks about the laws of Columbus in a rather derogatory fashion, it's almost like he's describing an article he read in today's paper. Going back almost 500 years. It's not, you know, go over 500 years. It's like nothing to him. It's like it happened moments ago.
Did you ever?
Oh, go ahead. Actually, I've always been intrigued by the timelessness of that concept.
Did you ever read any of Frank Cushing's books?
Yeah, I did. Actually, my Zuni elder friend Clifford Mahudi's grandfather was very good friends with Frank Hamilton Cushing when he first came to Zuni and was actually accepted into the tribe and into the Warrior Medicine Society and actually learned the language. He was the first Westerner that really was able to make some inroads into the Zuni culture, and he wrote a very the only real book on the Zuni that looked at, you know, at the entire culture from, you know, a anthropological point of view. There have been others,
yeah,
but nobody was accepted in to the degree that Cushing was.
Yeah, I'm very interested in his stuff, and I have been for a while. The reason I thought of him is because maybe, Chris, you know, one time he asked them, because he knew that probably that, Alvaro Cabeza de Vaca probably wandered over somewhere where the Zuni were in the late 15th or late 16th century.
No, he definitely did, along with Esteban, the Moroccan.
Yeah. Yeah, because they remembered, because the black, the African black guy was with him, Esteban.
Yeah.
And he said, how long ago was that? And they're like, I don't know. So they brought out pieces of corn to try and represent how many generations it was, and it lined up apparently quite well with about how long it had been since this had happened. Because I think he had shown up, and Esteban had shown up, and eventually they wore out their welcome, and they actually killed Esteban because he was being rude or...
No, they killed him because his two companions, Cabeza de Vaca and another guy, and Esteban, were actually taken in by the Zuni for a period of time, and they left, and they ended up making it all the way back to Mexico City, Coronado.
Oh, that's right. Esteban came back. That's right.
And then Esteban was conscripted by Coronado to lead the army back up into the Southwest.
Let's go into this in more detail. It's getting very complicated. In our next segment with Greg Bishop and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.